29th.
Of?
July 29th. Of. Yeah, October. We're that far ahead.
September?
Juillet.
Is that how you say it?
I hope so. Isn't it? Juillet and au. Au.
I watched Talladega Nights yesterday, and I love it when the French driver says Formula
That's Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But just the way he says Formula
Formula Yeah. In Germany it's Formula 1. That's the thing. I remember the first time I heard Formula 1, I was like, that sounds weird.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Make it funny. Do that, but funny.
Okay. Now.
No. The formula. Do the. No. But make it funny.
It's best I got.
That was the best you've got?
Yeah.
No, come on here. One more time. One more time for the people in the back row.
Formula.
No, you're right. Forget it. Forget about it. Hello and welcome to episode 447 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, again, still here.
In the five. Summer in the five.
Down to party.
That would be, okay, so that's a great name for a movie. Well, first of all, no. First of all, it'll be confusing. No. That's the sequel. So, like, the movie will be Summer in the Five.
Okay.
And that's a coming of age thing. And the poster is four kids jumping off of the Siwash Rock in Stanley Park.
Sure.
That's the poster. They're all jumping off into the water.
Silhouette.
No, but definitely late evening. Okay. They're all got that magic golden light. One of them is not going to survive the film, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. Summer in the Five, and then the sequel. It'll get like an 8%. The sequel will get 8% on the original. Well, it's going to get like an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Because it'll be good, if not somewhat uneven. But a lot of that's budget, right? Because it's like we shot it for like $1.5 million.
Right.
Okay. So, but it did well. You know, it got into Sundance. It didn't compete though. It just wasn't. It just, you know. So it's fine. We made our money back. They made a sequel, and it just got 8% on. It just terrible on Rotten Tomatoes. It was Summer in the 5-2, which is confusing because now you have two different numbers in there.
Yeah, that never works.
Summer in the 5-2, : Down to Party, and now. The three surviving kids, spoiler alert, the three surviving kids try to run an illegal rave out of East Van.
Oh, that's never good.
What they end up trying to do is they try to rent out the Croatian Cultural Center.
Right.
For under the guise of it's going to be a wedding. It's actually an illegal rave, but they are down to party.
Right.
Okay,
that sounds like quite a movie.
What's that one's gonna lose money though? a lot of it was spent. The director blew a lot of it on cocaine, which is that's kind of the problem. And the poster not nearly as original. They couldn't afford the same photographer.
Right, so they just got me. Some old guy with one of those glow sticks and a giant clock around his neck.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure we could get Flavor Flav. I think he's available.
And maybe a baby soother. That's a rave thing, right?
Yeah, from the 90s, I'm guessing. I don't know. I didn't go to raves. Everything I know about raves is from the movie Go.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, great movie. Check it out. In fact, you should watch it soon. It's really good. Yeah, I'm trying to. All right, that's the end of that.
Okay.
Don't see the sequel. Just stick with the original.
Yeah, the original's a good show.
Mm-hmm. Amazon. It'll be on. Well, they're speaking of which, one of them will be on Amazon Prime for sure. One, you'll have to buy the original on Amazon, buy the DVD, the Blu-ray. We'll sign it. Adam and I will sign it for you.
Sweet.
Yeah. But the second one you can probably catch on Prime when it comes out. It's direct-to-video. So, point being, click through our site if you go to Amazon. Help us out when you buy Summer in the Five.
Yes.
Two. Down to party. There you go. What's going on, Adam? The same?
Yeah, same. We're kind of back-to-back recording these for anyone who's interested.
We need a cool name for that. Back-to-back doesn't sound cool. Piggybacking. Ooh. No. Daisy chaining. Is that something?
I don't know.
Oh! Nope. I got it. You ready?
Yeah.
Write this down.
Okay.
Podcast parading.
Ooh, I like that.
But you don't say the podcast. After a while, the podcast part just disappears, and it's just called parading.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah.
So we're parading this one due to scheduling. Like I said, it's tough, and it's a tough schedule in juillet. Im Juli. Juli is how you say it in German.
Right.
July. Speaking of July, I have a parenting question for you.
Okay, shoot.
You know parents, right?
Yeah.
I mean good parents, like you know some good parents.
Yeah.
Okay. Why all the inside activities in July?
Give me some examples.
Gymnastics, for one. This is the one that's really kicking me is, well, like, okay, so, man, I hate to be the old man, but when I was a kid, you had inside activities like hockey. They scheduled those for the winter months when the weather was terrible and it got dark at noon o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You spent your winters inside. And then as soon as spring rolled around, you stopped doing that. And you went outside and you played some baseball, or I guess some guys still played box lacrosse inside, but there's a lot of outside activities. You rode your bike, you did all these different things. Went to the outdoor, the pool at South Arm, these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Why the inside things? Like we have, so my kids are both in gymnastics and they're still going in July, end of July. They've got gymnastics in the gym. It's 25 degrees and sunny outside. I want to go run around in the park with them, but we can't because they have to go to gymnastics.
Yeah, that's tough.
But wait, but is this like this is happening in Canada too, right? This isn't a German thing?
Yeah, I think there's a balance. I mean, we're getting regular invites to go to the pool now. So
that's,
and we're playing baseball outside and Jack's taking golf lessons. Like those are
This is what I'm basing it on. I'm looking at your son specifically, thinking no, like and not even your son. You and your wife kind of have this nailed. Like, all right, yeah, it's summer. Get outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the other parents here, and I don't want to say I'm being judgmental because I'm being super judgmental. And nobody seems to have a problem with it. They're all like, oh yeah. Of course, we got gymnastics 12 months a year. Why wouldn't you? And they don't care. They're like, we'll bring our kids inside in the gym. And I just think, am I the a-hole here?
Yeah. No, you're not. I think, I just think that there's probably, and I don't, maybe I'm over sort of reading this, but I think there's just a lot of people that just are scared of the sun. So they don't want sun exposure. Maybe that side of it.
these people. Yeah. Okay.
That's all I'm going to say is that there could be just the thought that, yeah, sun is not good, too much sun exposure, and therefore, mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna elect to try to find some activities indoors.
There is that element, I think. I mean, the sun, of course, being the source of all life on Earth, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the sun accidentally extinguished tomorrow, which I hope it doesn't, how long would the Earth last? First of all, how many minutes would we have until everything just died?
Not many.
First of all, I'm assuming. Now I'm not an astrologer, so I don't know. But I'm assuming if the sun extinguishes, therefore it would probably lose all of its mass, and thus we would be orbiting nothing, and we would just shoot off into outer space.
Okay,
that's my guess. Again,
could be. You could be right.
I'm not Mike Tyson's brother, Neil deGrasse. I'm not him.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's assumption A. And B, as soon as that happens, as soon as it goes out, I'm assuming, how long does it take for light to get from the sun to the Earth? Like 11 minutes or something?
I don't know.
Something like that. Maybe less. I don't even know. I'm not going to Google it either. Point being, that's how long we have. And then all of a sudden, wow, that's it. We're done. So why are you hiding from the source of all?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Go play outside. Right. You're going to be fine. A knockoff, but part of it also is, and this is me. I don't know if this is prevalent in Canada as well. I know it is because they started having spring hockey, and then there was summer hockey. Isn't there like summer hockey as well?
I think it kind of ends with spring, but I could be wrong.
Okay, I do. There is something very cool, like on a hot day, going for an ice skate inside. I do kind of like that. I have played drop in and like. August before, because just for the story, but I don't generally condone it. But anyways, regardless, part of it here is, I know with our baseball team, they go the other way. Like they have baseball the entire year round for the kids. They get like the under 10s, under 12s. They practice in the gym twice a week in October, November, December. Because their attitude is, well, if we lose them for even for a month, they just won't come back and they'll play soccer instead,
right?
Which is not a good thing. They should not be playing baseball. So I don't take my son to the gym sessions because it's silly. We go skating instead. So we have winter activities and summer activities. All right. So I'm glad I'm not the only one frustrated here. I'm not sure if you're frustrated. You're obviously just doing your own thing.
Yeah.
But your wife. On your side?
Yes.
Okay. See, my wife's not on my side. She agrees with me, but she is not a boat rocker. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. So if people want to do inside stuff and she's invited, she's going to partake.
Yeah. Not gonna, yeah. She's just going to sort of begrudgingly go along.
Gotcha.
Which is how I got her to marry me in the first place. I shouldn't complain.
It's a good trait.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna go pick up my kids from gymnastics today. I'm gonna loudly announce to all the parents, I'm not the a-hole.
Yeah. That's usually the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That'll work out. I'm sure that'll endear me to them even further. All right. Reminder monthly. Did we say Amazon already? We did.
You just did.
No, before that was Amazon. I'm just saying, if you want to buy your...
buy your DVDs from the movie that you made up.
Oh, that's right. So, but if you want to buy your SPF 300, get that on Amazon too. Click through our site. You know the routine. Reminder, monthly challenge for Juillet is golden. Hashtag that two hosers or hashtag two hosers monthly challenge or hashtag hey hosers on Instagram. And be sure to tag us at Two Hosers to make sure that we see it to avoid any problems. And Adam will make fun of you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. What's worse, Adam making fun of you or Adam not bothering to make fun of you?
Yeah, that's a pretty tough call.
Oscar Wilde said that. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Well, I have my part two of my photography sort of picture day for the baseball kids.
Okay, so this I saw this when you posted all of these and thought, all right, well, these are two separate photo shoots, obviously. Obviously, I was wrong. This all occurred within the same half hour.
Yeah, so...
Of the ones from last week with the jumping and catching over the fence.
Right, yeah. So that was outside the batting cage. Inside the batting cage, I set up a black background and did some kind of like studio on location studio shots. So
right.
I got asked that if I would be willing to do some photos for photo day. It was pretty much open to what my interpretation of what that was. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do. I've done in the past where I think it looks pretty cool. I've never seen, you know, the local Darby photos do this kind of thing, but I'm going to bring a black background. I'm going to bring a couple of lights and I'm going to do something cooler than anybody else gets at their photo day.
Okay.
So that was what I did. I brought softbox, like I brought the big softbox and a studio light. And then I brought a couple of speed lights and then the black background, which I hung in the batting cage with my little background stand. And then basically had a gridded softbox camera left and then a bare speed light kind of camera right and behind to act as a sort of a rim light, hair light kind of setup. And then the big softbox to be the key light. Not gridded and sort of feathered in front of the kids. And then I just marked a spot on the ground where I wanted them to stand. And then I had 10 kids that I probably got through in about 30 minutes, about 3 minutes a kid, where we had a couple of shots in mind, pose with the bat, pose with the glove and ball, toss the ball up and down. And it was just like, boom, boom, boom. A couple of kids wanted to put on some catcher's gear. So I did that. And it was just knocked them off one at a time with the next kid waiting because there's another group that was going to use the batting cage when we were done. So we didn't have an endless supply of time. So I had to get the kids through. Plus parents were scheduled to come pick up the kids. All in, I had an hour and 15 minutes from when the kids were going to arrive to when they were going to go home to do setup, takedown, the black backdrop photos, and then the action photos. So not a ton of time to be wasted. So we were pretty efficient, cut a couple parents to help me set up and put a few examples of one of the kids who's appeared in a lot of my photos lately. He was in the photo challenge from last week, but I have a picture of him with a bat where one of the lights, the gridded softbox light camera left, doesn't fire, but I like it. So I included that one. And then as a comparison, I have one of the ball toss photos in there where it does go and you get a different, more even kind of light on his face. But I like having both. I like having the portrait light, and then I like also having the more even lighting in the ball toss, and then have one of him posing with his catcher's gear that I think looks pretty cool. Just the way it's pretty new gear that he got. That's his own gear, and it just kind of reflects the light nicely and just kind of has like a shine to it that looks cool.
The gear definitely adds something to it. Because these are very, I mean, these look good. These are really hard photos to do.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. Like, first of all, the light, like lighting kids with hats, like lighting anybody with hats is very difficult because you get that adage, you get the little shadow from the brim of the hat, then you got a light underneath it. And you do a good job of that. We get nice, even lighting. It's just inherently difficult to do because you typically, you know, you want to have that Rembrandt lighting, that angle of light comes in. Well, now all of a sudden you're getting shade on the face.
Right.
Which then do you fill it in or do you lower the key light? You know, which you probably do. I'm guessing you probably had the key light a little bit lower than you normally would.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just to compensate for that. So you end up, you know, you make take that into consideration. And you make compromises and say, all right, I'd rather have it a little more flat and have his face lit than have it really cool and kick-ass lighting and, you know, lose the, because of the brim. And then there's the sheer fact that posing a kid, you know, in his hockey gear looks pretty cool because you can stand on the stick. You have a little bit more going on that you can shoot that works. Baseball, for some reason, I find just difficult to do. Where do you hold the glove?
Yeah, and we tried different spots. And fortunately, I said to my wife, because she was helping me, she was helping with my photo assistants, is that kids that are ball players, like these kids are all pretty good ball players, they just look natural holding their glove, holding a ball. So kind of hand them the ball, tell them to toss it. How would you stand with the ball? They all kind of just inherently did it without a lot of posing help or tips. So I just found that, again, if I had taken sort of a house league of baseball players and tried to do the same thing, it would have been so much more difficult because they don't naturally stand or hold their glove, or it just doesn't look natural. And so that was the easiest part, was they just kind of knew what to do.
They do. I mean, and like I say, these look good. You know, like for the example, there's the one, like the classic one of him, just the other kid just holding up his glove on his chest, staring at the camera, half smile. It's all nice. The ball's there. The ball's in the right spot. Glove is in the right spot. That's kind of where I asked them to keep the glove, because I like having the glove high enough, close to their face, so that it's included in the picture.
Yeah.
I don't always, you don't always necessarily want to shoot the, in this case, the cowboy. So showing, you know, below the hip like this. I mean, this one, it works, but it doesn't work in every photo.
Yeah. It works better with the catcher's glove. And like, you're right. Some of the kids pose this way and some of the kids it looks good with. And then other kids, like, I agree. I like the glove kind of pulled up by their chest. But the only problem with that was, in some of them, I was not wanting them to cover up where their number is on their jersey.
Exactly.
So then, like the one of Jack that I included, I had him hold his glove a little lower so that I could see the number. So we kind of gave a mix. I kind of gave them a few of each one. And then I just figured, you know, people could decide which one they like the best.
That's exactly what I was getting at. So for us, for me, I like the glove up top like that on the chest. However, it's not the number that it covers. It covers part of the name as well. And in this case, Chucker's not so important, but we have our city name on, we have tubing in on our jerseys. And when you're kind of taking into consideration where this photo is going to end up, if it ends up on someone's, you know, grandmother's wall, that's fine. I don't care. It doesn't need to, it can say tub, doesn't need to say tubing in. But if we're advertising, if we want to push this out there and make sure people who do not know that we play for tubing in, I don't want them to guess at the rest of the name. I want them to know immediately. So that becomes a consideration. And so like the shot of your son with, you know, throwing the ball up in the air, he doesn't cover Chuckers or his number, but his in this one, his glove looks goofy.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the trade-off. It's like, all right, where can I keep the glove that it's in the frame and not blocking anything? And yeah, this is the compromise. So I agree, the more natural pose, but then the trade-off is you're going to lose something, whether it's the name or it's the number or both in the case of my son's friend there. And then the one with his bat, I really like that photo because you see enough of the name that you can kind of make it out. You see enough of the number as well, although it could be 48 or 46, I guess.
Right.
But again, I like that in terms of it shows the right amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And that kid hits left-handed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a big thing. That's a consideration as well, which most people in Germany, most players hit right-handed, oddly. Lefties are very rare. And so for us in particular, on our right top of, like, just below the shoulder on the chest, is where we have our sponsor logo. And so when I had all the guys pose, well, they all hit right-handed, so they naturally hold the bat on the other shoulder. Except for that covers up the sponsor shoulder, the sponsor patch.
Right.
So now what do you do? So now I kind of had to have the guys hold the bat the other way, and I said, well, people who see this shot don't really care that you hit right-handed. We want to see the sponsor because they're paying for all this.
Right.
So all considerations. But ultimately, these look great. What do you think about taking these kids' baseball portraits against the black background? Is this something that you are going to keep doing, or is this a kind of a one-time thing?
I did it in hockey, and I really liked it, which is what made me think I was going to do it again and see how it worked for baseball. And surprisingly, I never adjusted the lights once. Mm-hmm. So this was very easy. The gridded softbox comes in handy because the key variable here is keeping the light off the background.
Right.
So if you have a gridded softbox, and then you can snoot another flash and Amazingly, my big softbox is very directional. So mm-hmm. I was able to keep all the light off of the background in a reasonably small space and do next to zero Photoshop work on these at all. It was just kind of Lightroom editing, just basic edits. And then because I marked the spot where I wanted to stand and I never changed anything as far as the lights, once I was dialed in, I just said, you got to stay in that spot. And the only difference with some of them is sometimes the recycle time on the one light was a little slow. When I'd pop a few in a row, it might not go in one. And that therefore, sometimes you get a little bit more dramatic lighting, which it turns out I liked anyways.
Right.
It was really easy editing because it was basically just, you know, do the edits on one and then just copy them across to the other photos. And I even did a couple at the end where I put like groups of two and three together. So there was a couple of this little kind of fun group ones, like basically I could only get three across the black background before I was going to have to do a whole bunch of Photoshop in behind them. But
right.
Those ones looked really good too. So very pretty straightforward, easy setup. If you have the right gear, that's for sure.
So, but this actually, again, this is complete coincidence. So this ties in to my earlier rant. For me, now I've been forced to shoot black background. I shot a little while ago. I shot the girls' softball team, the headshots a couple months back against a black background because it was raining. Essentially, I wanted to go outside and shoot outside. It was pouring rain. We had to shoot inside, and so it became a black background situation. I don't like this for baseball.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's. I mean, these are all well done. These images look cool. To me, it ties in with the exact rant I just dropped about, hey, it's summer, why aren't we outside? So when I think of baseball, I don't thematically tie it to these sorts of images. The black, I think it's outside, it's you know, the different colors, you got blues and greens and like blue sky, green trees, all that kind of stuff. And yeah. So there is that disconnect for me. Again, it could just be me.
Well, again, I feel like I have so many of those, and I've already sent out too many of those kind of
mm-hmm.
cool action shots for parents that I wanted something just completely the opposite to that, something that they don't have, never would have if we didn't do this, right?
A luxury that you have being that you're the photographer, but if you are going, like let's say you're not a photographer, you don't take any pictures throughout the year besides some crappy ones with your iPhone. And those, let's be honest, aren't going to be good. And your only portrait of the year of your son from the portrait company that's hired to come and take pictures of your kid is that one of Jack there. That's the one, the black background of Jack Baltos. That's the one that's for 2019.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Are you happy with that? Or you think, could we do one outside?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't want to discourage. This definitely does look cool. It's a nice supplementary thing to have, and it is really cool because no one else has these. But if I can avoid it, if I can do it as a secondary thing, great. But if I can avoid this, I do. Although hockey maybe looks different because maybe it's emotionally tied to inside. I don't know.
I don't know. They look the same, but in different equipment. I like these ones. Yeah. It's all, to me, it's all like the jerseys. And so mm-hmm. to me, the dark blue on the black just looks good. Like I
it
just
does,
like that
especially
color.
If you backlight it like you did.
Yeah. I like that navy color and mm-hmm. it just with a little bit of separation, the white pants, it all just kind of looks good on the black. I could do this on white as well. I don't want to.
No.
I think white's harder. Like white is just harder.
Yeah, you know, white pants on white. Yeah, you know, it doesn't need to do that.
Well, and you got to light the background too versus just keep the light off the background.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. All right.
There you go.
I talked last week about going to that working that the Stadtfest, the city party.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is this ties into, did you shoot anything interesting? For me, I did the next day. So I had to work till super late work. You know, I think we shut down at 2:00. By the time I got home, it was like 3:30 in the morning. I had to ride my bike home. And, the good news is my kids had gymnastics competition in July. Like I ranted about a giant competition, about 40 minutes away. We had to drive 40 minutes to get there. the competition sort of started. I think it was scheduled to start at 9 or 10, but of course my eight-year-old daughter had to be there 2 hours before to get loose. I was like, I'm pretty sure that they're just always loose. Like they're warmed up. Like they live their life constantly. Like how many times does your kid like just pull a muscle getting out of bed?
Yeah,
it's doesn't happen.
Not a thing. Yeah.
No, he's limber. So anyway, so we had to be there 2 hours before, which meant we had to get up and then leave the house. I think we had to leave the house at 7 a.m., which means getting up before then. And I had just gotten home at 3 in the morning. Time got to bed was closer to 4. And then I had to go spend the entire day at a gymnastics event inside, which was a delight. I was pretty much, I thought I was dead. Not feeling good at all.
Right.
And anyways, the worst part about it was trying to pretend with all the other parents there who like I told you, all think that getting up at 6 in the morning and driving an hour or 40 minutes or whatever it is to get out to some indoor thing in July, they all think that's a capital idea, and they're all excited to be there, which I'm excited to be there. I like my kids. I encourage them to do things. The worst part was pretending that I wasn't a mess, because I don't want to be that guy. Oh, yeah, I was out super late, but there I am dying, and they all want to talk. Hey, how's it going? And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Go talk to somebody else. What do you want me to tell you? Right. Anyways, so I included a couple photos. So my daughter had, they actually had a gymnastics event. She finished 5th overall out of like a couple hundred kids. So I was very, very pleased with her. I don't know why they keep score, honestly. Like this should just be an event where they go and have fun because she's 8. But she was excited to actually finish 5th.
Okay.
I'll wait for the applause, you know? She's like, well, because last time she finished 19th, this time 5th. And so she basically said, Daddy, you think next time I could finish 1st or 2nd?
And you said, no chance. Those kids are way better than you.
Yeah. I said, I'm not coming back here at 6 in the morning. Are you kidding me? Sorry. You'll have to catch the bus. And good for you. Good luck. Good luck to you. She's very excited about that. And then so one of the things that I, once again, I'm not a huge fan of the fact that it's in July and we're inside, but kind of a dark gym. And so I do want to get some photos of my kids doing this. And so the 5D Mark III, which is my, you know, my flagship camera, it's, I know it's an older version of this is the Mark IV, et cetera, probably Mark V on the horizon. The ISO, the high ISO images are outstanding, because I was shooting with the 70-200 f4 at f4, need a halfway decent shutter speed to stop the action as best you can, and which means an ISO of I think 3200, which looks fantastic.
Cool.
So there's a shot of my daughter on the high bar there. Not really that high. She can reach it, but I don't know, what do you call it? Medium bar?
Yeah.
So you can see her mid-action there. Probably needs to point her toes a little bit straighter. I don't know. Yeah,
what is that?
That's a 5th versus a 1st. That's the difference.
She broke her leg on her right side.
Yeah. No, that's... We'll work on that. I made her cry on the way home. It's like, that's just terrible. No, I was very excited for her. But, that's a sample of what high ISO... you can get nowadays. I mean, that's pretty standard across all cameras made in the last 5+ years. The performance at a high ISO is outstanding, and that's definitely a benefit. And then meanwhile, on the same event, they had a thing for kids, which wasn't so much a gymnastics thing, but some sort of a weird competition. There was some gymnastics, there was some balancing and the bar stuff, but they also had other events. So there's my son in the gumboot throw.
Yeah. Like a javelin, but with a gumboot.
Or discus, but with a gumboot.
No, he's got javelin form.
Or shot put, but yeah, it depends. All the kids did something different. The good news was he was very excited. And so You know, and that the girl in the bottom left hand corner sitting down, she's the official scorer. They actually scored these events too.
Wow.
So my son got a score on all the different things. Now, point of pride, even though it's a gumboot throw, which I don't know what that even really means, my son did win the overall on that. He threw it way further than any other kid.
Did he throw someone else's boot or did he throw his own?
No, these were existing. You didn't bring your own boots.
Oh, that would have been bad.
Yeah. So yeah, he did. He was very excited. The response with the other kids, that they're not as overwhelming as you'd like. I mean, the girl sucking her thumb, the other kids barely paying attention. I mean, he set the record for 5-year-olds, Gummistiefel, Werf, in Germany, and no one seemed to care. So there's that. So you had three throws. This one, the first one, he set the record. He threw it like twice as far as every other kid, which is awesome. The next one slipped out of his hand and hit the lady next to him, hit her in the face. So he had a high and a low.
It's the average. You take the average score.
Well, you throw the low out, which I think. So he still won. And the big loser was the lady who got hit in the face with a gumboot. All right, we can hashtag that Germany.
Nice.
Hey, Germany. But anyway, at least we got outside, you know? So there you go.
There you go.
There was that. So it turns out, no, I didn't shoot anything interesting. Photo challenge. Oh. I also shot some video at the pool with a GoPro, but that's not that interesting.
Okay.
Moving on. Okay. Photo challenge. Available light portrait. Did you shoot? You shot one.
Yeah.
All right, so let's have a look at the, we'll do yours first, because this kid, I think I know what three baseballs means.
Yeah, this was after his 3-home run game. I think I mentioned it a couple of episodes back. So because we gang recorded these, I took a couple of photos. This was taken moments before last week's photo challenge, which was the snapshot one. Mm-hmm. So I just said, hey, you know, after the team photo, would you like a photo of... you know, sort of making a memory of the 3 home runs. Not like you'll forget it, but you know, it's just nice to have a keepsake. And he said, sure. And he had, collected the balls from the home run. So I said, get your home run balls and bring them over here and we'll take a photo. And so there it is. That's all we did.
Nice. And you got, you know, the nice thematic elements in the background. You have the enough of the baseball field to know what it is.
Yeah.
I'd prefer to see this against a black background. No. No, I don't. I actually like it out. I like it out in the environment that is baseball. I like that. And very simple, this one. Very simple. I mean, first of all, you chose a very nice time of the day to shoot.
Yeah.
Is this a little bit backlit? Is that where that the sun is in behind to the right?
Yeah, because there's massive trees all over the place. So the sun... it's just kind of squeaking through some trees to create the light just in that top corner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still looks good. Very simple. I think the key to shooting available light portraits is the available light is find some nice light.
Yeah. Evening is a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best time. That's the best time to do this. All right, let's have a look at mine. Mine is the one of my son. I shot two, and we'll talk a little bit about the other one. But this is the one of my son.
With the leaves in behind him.
The leaves in behind, yeah. Pretending he's having dinner at the Ivy.
Sure.
Fancy restaurant. No, actually, the original one was scheduled to be my daughter, because my son never wants to cooperate, but once his sister was getting her picture taken, then all of a sudden he wanted to do it. And I ended up liking his better just because of a couple of things. But his is very, very simple. So you tell me, which first of all, there's the shot of my daughter next to it, and then my son. Which one do you like better? Or not at all, maybe. I don't know.
I think I liked your son just because your daughter's smile looks forced. Whereas your son's looks more genuine, even though it's not really a smile. It's more of a genuine
contempt.
Look. Yeah, genuine contempt. No, it's just a kind of childhood innocence kind of face.
Yeah, and that's what I liked too. I mean, my daughter is what we spoke about last week about the snapshots and that, and being aware of the photographer, she is a little bit aware of being on camera, and thus her smile, it's not far off of her real smile, but there is a little element that it is forced, which is the issue. So the one thing I liked about the shot of my daughter is that just camera left is a very, very, very bright yellow building, bright yellow. And the sun, this is later in the evening. This is like around early in the evening. It's like 5:15. And so the sun is a little bit lower on camera right and hammering against that yellow building. And so what I wanted to do was kind of get her close and use the bounce from that building to essentially be, in this case, I guess, fill. It's pretty flat light. But to have, you know, the sunshine, the essentially blue, slightly yellowish sunshine because the time of day coming from camera right, mixing it with the yellow bounce to appear that, you know, just to kind of give it a little different color separation, even though this is technically all available light.
Right.
So that's what I was going with. I don't know if this was necessarily the exact right time of day to shoot this, but I might try this again with this building because it's kind of it provides a nice golden glow. Hey, maybe it'll be my monthly challenge for Juillet.
Sure.
We'll find that. We'll figure that out. But meanwhile, across, and then I said, oh, well, I saw these leaves and across the street and said, oh, you know what? Hey kiddo, let's get you, hey buddy, let's get your shot here. And it was nice because it was this nice open shade, but we're still getting some reflection off the buildings in behind me, which is what's providing a nice catch light in his eyes. And right. I think that's one of the things, a forced smile aside, the shot of my daughter, there are tiny little catch lights, but her eyes don't pop out like they should. And that's kind of important in any portrait. Like look at the one that you shot of the three home run kid. He's got some nice catch lights. His eyes really pop out.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughters are fine. They don't sparkle. My son's much, much better. And to me, that's kind of what's nice. I like the coloring in behind that frames him. I like the little pose he's doing. Like he's kind of, you know, too cool for school, grabbing his arm like that. And like you said, the natural look on his face. But in terms of available light, very simple, open shade. Either go in the evening like Adam did, or look for open shade and you're going to get some really nice colors.
Sure.
So that's the key to available light portraits. Okay.
I got it.
That's it. That's it for the summer show. Reminder, monthly challenge is golden.
Right.
You have to vamp while I figure out what the, oh no, that's what it is. That's why I didn't put it down. Okay. So the monthly challenge is golden. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on Instagram. Tag us at two hosers to make sure that we see it. And we'll talk about it next week. So the challenge, there's no weekly challenge next week. It is golden.
Okay.
Whew, that's what confused me because I thought, you know, I should have written it down here. I should have had a challenge ready. I did, Adam.
Great.
Yeah, very proud of me. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.